Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the street feeling like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, at the bottom of the gas now, I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm getting much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, bitter, bitter. But now I feel better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. So I relieve the children. I don't complain. Whoa. Remember your golden. Your body don't sugar cane. Great life gives you lemon. Take lemonade.
Hama, 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 hama.
I would say for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. How many miracles I have seen each day. If I can just get out of my own way. Well, life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. So I relieve the children.
Life give you lemons.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part where we're like, no, 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 lemonade, so dumb. It's already been done like a billion times. But luckily I was in the shot because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
Okay. That was Alex Boyer, Lemonade Song. And it's appropriate because this is the title of my new show, If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini. Good evening, everybody. This is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. And If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini show is a show for the tame and the untamed. It's serious with a dash of humor. Life is what you make it. You may be rich but unhappy or broken happy. You may have had many adversities in your life. How many pity parties did you have? Ever went from being a victim to becoming victorious? Ever been down so low you between your legs on a dime? That's really low. Do you have a sense of humor? Ever laughed at yourself? What is your overall view of life? want to vent, or just have something to get off your chest, if you answer yes to one of these questions, this show is for you. Also, you can get free exposure if you're a business owner, starting a business, author, expert, or just want to share some important information. I invite you to come on as a guest and let's chop it up. Sorry, there will be no discussion religion or politics. That's very touchy subjects that people sometimes debate and arguments start, you know, so I just don't discuss that on my show. Not to say that you can't speak of God or, you know, if you have something to say about what's going on with things that the way they're going in this term with this different president, it's okay, but we will not be discussing religion and politics. And if you're interested in being a guest or a co-host, you can inbox me or email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. This evening we have a very special guest, author Tori E. Lowes. She's a prolific writer, international traveler, radio host, and Bible school teacher, always seeking a way to share wisdom and the Word of God. Her passion is being a guardian for children, her coin collection, and arts and crafts. Always starting her day with a smile and looking for the rainbow in our lives. As a prolific writer who has written 10 books and ghostwrote a few for other people, her latest and 10th book, Broken, she has also turned into a script because she knows that God wanted her testimony told to save souls. To know Tori is always a plus because she's always willing to help others in need. The motto that she lives by is, if it ain't about relationships, then it ain't about nothing. So she encourages others to put more stock in building good interactions between people instead of chasing the almighty dollar. Without further ado, we're going to bring on our special guest this evening, author Tori E. Lowes. Good evening, darling. How are you?
Hello, Gail. Thank you for such a warm and introduction. Bless your heart. But you got it right. Hit the nail on the head, darling.
Thank you, dear. All right, let's talk a little bit first before we get into your book. Who is Tori Lowes? Just give us a little background on, you know, who is Tori Lowes before she became author and just after the children. Just tell us who Tori Lowes is.
I am fortunate enough to be a person that was raised with good morals that stuck. I'm a comedian, somewhat like Avenger for the underdogs. You know, I'm compassionate, you know, and I just try to, you know, do all that I can because I do know there's a heaven and I'm trying to get there. So I've learned wisdom along the way. I've learned that, you know, when you're young, you're naive about the world and you think you're invisible to all things and invincible, and I'm not, you know, and life knocked me on my butt a couple of times. It made me realize that, hey, some of those older people in your families or your people, family members or people who had, the opportunity to speak wisdom into your life that you ignored, you know, I wish I had paid more attention then. But, you know, as you get older, you know, it's wisdom because once you learn, you hold on to it. And see, I can honestly say that you ain't got to beat me upside my head but one time, and I know pain, you know. So once I went through something, I don't repeat the same thing. But, you know, Gail, a lot of people out there, they do the same thing over and over and over again and with the same results. That's ludicrous, huh? Tell me something stupid and I fall for it. You can't tell me that same stupid thing again. So, you know, I'm a realist, you know.
Right, because they say if you're bitten by a dog once, you bite me once, shame on you. You bite me twice, shame on, how did that thing go? Shame on me, bite me twice, shame on you. You know, so people should learn from their mistakes. And when you don't learn from your mistakes, then, you know, there's something definitely wrong with the situation, your life situation, or something that's going on in your life that causes you not to change. You know, because you have some people who get stuck in situations and they get comfortable with them and they won't change. So, you know, it's good to know that you learned from your mistakes and you picked yourself up and dust yourself off and you moved on. Okay,
well, Dale,
so when you...
you know, there's one thing that is really pressing on my heart, and I just need to say this, because a lot of people in America has gotten so complacent and thinking that because we're the land of the free, we're almighty, nothing happens inside. You know, and I just want to say to anybody out there who's listening, they got daughters, granddaughters, nieces, cousins, females, period. You know, because I hop on it all the time to these young women about stop advertising what the good Lord gave you. You know, your clothes don't have to be up near your navel, you know, because there are people actually thinking because you're so promiscuous the way you act and you're hard-headed and they can talk you out of the house when your mother or father tell you stay in the house. You know, slave trade in the sexual industry is real, you know, and what they do, they snatch people from here and take them to Dubai, all these other places, and you will never see your family again. And then your family members will think that because you were promiscuous that you went off on your own and you are a slave. You know, you're being used and drugged up for sex. And that's real, because even Hillary Clinton was talking about that when she was on the political road. And I ain't going into that because I heard what you said in the intro about politics and religion. But these young girls out here, these darling, I know y'all look pretty. I know y'all got nice little shapes. But you know something? Listen to what your parents and your guardians are telling you. You know, you don't have to show everything for somebody to want it. You know, just get that education first, because that's going to get you a whole lot farther down the road. And put clothes on your body. Let the, you know, all that visual stuff, let that be for that man that you wind up marrying, or that boyfriend that you spend years getting to know, because someone will take your little young behind and give you a joint lace with something, knock your honey out, push some drugs in you, and you shipped out, you know, and that's just real talk. And people need to stop thinking, because we in America, it don't happen here. It happens here more than people think. And I just got to put that out there because, you know, it's scary. And I'm concerned for my granddaughter. I'm concerned for my little cousins because, you know, we all was young. We had that shape bootylicious. But you know something, just because you built nice, you ain't got to show it all.
That's true. Leave something for the imagination, because, you know, like you said, Tara, you don't have to show everything. And men who basically see everything before you, they don't want you really to be in a relationship. They just have that visual. She has big breasts. She has big butt. She has this. She has that. And I want to get with that. And they get with you one night. That's it, because that's all they want. You know, so you have to protect yourself, be a little bit more aware, and listen to your parents. These young girls are getting snatched, because in D.C., there were 4 missing young ladies. I don't know if any of them ever were recovered or not. But like you said, a lot of these children are being kidnapped and forced into slavery, sex slaves, and, you know, just doing any and everything. And people need to open your eyes and be aware. You know, stop picking up men off the internet. You know, stop getting in these abusive relationships and letting men tell you all kind of crazy things. You know, first of all, love yourself. If you love yourself, you're going to take care of yourself. You know, so if you don't love yourself, then you're bound to go out there and get hurt, or, you know, whatever the things that are going on in this world to, you know, just to take you out. Now, it's very sad that, you know, things are happening this way, but we are in the last days. And Satan, he's really busy, you know, trying to get as many souls as he can, you know, and it's really sad. So I'm glad you did bring that up, you know, because it needs to be, it's almost an epidemic of things that are happening to women, you know, being raped and murdered and, you know, going through all these changes that, you know, we're going through. So, you know, to make awareness of that, you know, I do appreciate you bringing that up. And just the listening audience, if you're listening, talk to your daughters. Let them know that you love them. Teach them how to love themselves. You know, and it's going to be a time when they're going to have a man in their life that's just meant for them to happen. I'm 67 years old. I've never been married, but I'm still, you know, have that option open. You know, maybe one day I will get married, but I'm not rushing anything, and I'm not trying to, you know, rush anything, because if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's how I look at it. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, it's There's too many other things.
A lovely woman, man is out there, but we have so many women, unfortunately, out there allowing men not to be men. They want to act like they're putting on the pants. They want to sit there and allow that man to be a bum. Or a lot of these women are raising sons, and they're not forcing them to live up to their potential. But I make sure my grandsons, you know, I make sure they first they got their morals right. I try to instill in them respect for other people. I make sure they ain't trying to put their hands on no woman because they don't need to grow up to be sorry men. And we got a whole lot of sorry men out there, you know, and a lot of these men need to reach and get some of these young boys and straighten them out, because a lot of times it's single women raising boys. So these other men, you know who y'all are. You know these single women, step up and be a man and show these young men how to be a man, because we can teach them how to be moral. We can teach them how to look right and talk right, but a woman don't know how to be a man. You know, so some things we can't do.
Right.
And I implore all of y'all guys.
Right, there's a reason.
Yeah,
right,
step
there's
up.
A reason why. Right, there's a reason why there should be two parents in the household. Because a woman, I don't care how she can raise her son to be good, do this, that, but he needs a man so he can see, he can get those examples from a man as far as how to treat a woman, how
right.
to talk, how to walk the walk, and how to, you know, teach him to be God-fearing. You know, that's why God put man and woman together in the first place, to procreate and to fulfill the earth with, you know, with humans, and to, you know, to bring them up with morals. But because, you know, we have these men who, well, you know, I really don't consider them as men. I consider them as the male race, because, number one, a man is going to be responsible. A man is going to be going to be the provider. A man is going to love his family. He's going to take care of his family. He's going to look out for his wife. He's going to look out for his kid.
A man ain't going to show everybody his damn underwear, okay? Y'all guys out there sagging,
right.
It's nasty. Pull your pants up. Don't nobody want to see that. And most of the time when you see it, it's dirty anyway.
And then the origin behind that, you know, some of these guys actually know what the origin is behind that. It started in a prison, where they lower their pants, and that means that they are available. So if you run around here with your pants hanging down and, you know, thinking that's cute, or, you know,
it didn't start in the jails. It started in slavery, when the slaves had ropes to hold their pants up. And sometimes when they was working and the rope, the knots would come loose and their pants would sag. And then the rappers started glorifying it, thinking it's cool because they keep trying to invent themselves. And then the people in jail saw that and they thought, well, let me be cool, because inside the jail is a whole new kind of world that's different from outside free, you know. And then also it's like way of advertising, okay, you can hit this, but, you know, it's nothing positive about that, you know, from the origin of pants sagging, you know. And I just wish people stop making it like, okay, if you got some money, this is how you do it. I don't want to see your underwear. I'm not sleeping with you. And, you know, you don't need to see my panties, you know, and vice versa. And we got women out there trying to do the same thing, even though some of the women, they might, you know, want to be gay and they feel like that's be the manly part, but it's nasty. I don't care how you look at it, you know. That's why you buy underwear, to cover your butt.
Yeah. And I live in Fayetteville, North Carolina now, and the guys down here, they are wearing their pants right below their butt cheeks.
Ew.
And I'm just saying, it's not attractive, and it's not cute at all. And then they have the audacity to have a belt on. What is the belt for?
They're holding it up, trying to walk. They can't even run.
Right.
They got to hold their pants. Stupid. Pants dragging on the ground, you know, getting all raggedy.
Why don't you just walk around in your underwear? That would be better. You know, you might as well, because you can see everything. It's horrible. And today I was in the store, as a matter of fact, and I don't know if this was this lady's son or it could have been her boyfriend, but he was quite young. His pants, you know what? I have two grandsons, three great grandsons, and a son.
Mm-hmm.
Never have I ever seen them with their pants sagging. Never.
Praise God.
Never. Yes. Because if I did, I would tell them, your pants falling down. Because I've told a few guys that, you know, that I knew. You know, I wouldn't say it to a stranger because I wouldn't want him to, you know. But, you know, guys that I knew, I would say, your pants hanging down. And they say, oh, my bad, and pull them up, you know, whatever. But that's not cute. It's not cute, guys. It's not fashionable at all. So you
and
need to pull your pants up.
Allowing their kids to do that. Speak up.
Right. Yes. Stop looking suspect and be somebody's prospect. You know, you go try to get a job with your pants hanging down. Go get a job with tattoos all over your face. You know,
well, you know something on Facebook, and it made a good point. On Facebook, it showed three black African men. Their pants were sagging. They had dreadlocks, you know, and to look at them, you would assume they was up to no good, going somewhere to smoke a blunt. But what the kept reading on in the story, and what it showed was that these three men were on the dean's list, straight A student, and the object of the story was to not judge a book by its cover. And I get that. But you know something? If I see a book that got penis and butts and everything on the cover, I don't want to read that. I don't need to read porno. You know what I'm saying? You know, so they want to say, you got to make an assessment, you know, before you want to go somewhere. Because if I'm walking down the street and I see a lot of rowdy people, I don't want to go down that street. I want to turn around. So, yes, there's a lot of people that you would never know what they're about just by looking at them because they have adapted to this negativity of wearing the pants hanging down and the dress. And the dress I don't really care about, that's cool. But, you know, that pants sagging thing, it looks like, you know, if something goes wrong and you're going to get profiled, they're going to pick you out because they're going to think, look at y'all. Y'all look like y'all hoodlums, you know what I'm saying? And then when the police bump, knock you upside your head, you got an attitude because you've been profiled. Why make somebody look at you like, you know, you suspect? Why can't you look professional? It's not geeky to wear your pants up. It's not geeky to have a shirt or sweater on. It's not geeky to look clean and fresh. You know, and for these other women, too, as going into Walmart and these stores with their pajamas on, you're a little nasty behind. Can I say a curse word? I know I shouldn't be cursing me, but, you know, I'm working on cursing. Of the curse. But these nasty ass women, you know, they come to Walmart or these other stores in their pajamas. You know,
yep.
You go velour pants and stuff. And I know you're a little stinking ass and lay up in bed and wash your face. None of that. And you're going to go out to the store. I mean, really? Come on now. But
yeah.
I just got to vent, man, you know, because I ain't about all that confusion. And, you know, a lot of times when I see people, I ain't got to know them. I said, boy, pull your pants up. I know your grandmother wouldn't appreciate that. And they'll say, excuse me, and they'll do that because I said something, you know. But we got to be bold enough. We got to step out, you know, because we are adults. We got to say what needs to be said because these little young parents or these parents who don't give a shit about how the kids are presenting themselves, there's enough of us that can speak up and stand united. And I'm one of the ones, I don't care. You say what you want to say about me. Step to me if you want to, but I'm going to speak the truth at every given moment because I know God got my back, come, you know, hell or high water.
Right. Well, you remember back in the day, it used to be a village that would raise your child. But see,
that's
those villages have turned into prisons. They turned into foster homes and all these other kind of things because parents of today, these new parents, they have no morals, number one. You know, they're the leftovers from the parents who had no morals in their day. So, you know, it's like a cycle. So somebody has to break that cycle. Somebody has to break that cycle. And if that cycle is not broken, it just goes on and on and on and on. Because if you say something to somebody else's kid nowadays, their parents will kill you. And I remember growing up, I had an aunt. My aunt would beat anybody's child in the neighborhood if they did something wrong. And guess what? The parents would thank her.
That's
now,
right.
You put your thumb in somebody's kid.
Exactly.
And we used to get beaten by the neighbors as well. And when mother called, they tell my mother, and she gave us another beat. You know.
I've been there, done that. Let me show
up. Right. we were respectful coming up. We knew how to say yes, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, yes no ma'am. You know, we respected our elders. Nowadays, they don't have any respect for the elders.
And Gail, you made a good point. You know, kids today kind of make me sick when I ask a question and they say yeah or no. And I force them to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, don't talk to me yeah, no, because you're not my equal. And I do that even in class, in church, you know, when they said yes, I said yes, ma'am. I'm going to force them to say it. Maybe if I force them to say it enough times around me, then eventually they'll get comfortable with saying it around other people. But, you know, I can't understand when people don't teach these kids how to put a handle on a title. If somebody's talking to an adult, they're supposed to say yes, ma'am, or no, sir, or yes, sir, you know. But the parents ain't teaching them that, because they acting simple themselves. And even myself, you know, if I'm talking to somebody in their 70s, you know, because they're older than me, I say yes, ma'am. I show the same respect when I'm an adult.
Yeah, I do too. I tell them yes. Sometimes they say, you ain't got to say yes, ma'am, to me. I say, well, I'm like, ma'am. You know, but, you know, it's just a matter of respect. All the morals and the principles and things like that, they're just gone in the trash right now, because parents are letting their children do what they want to do. They're letting them buy their own clothes, do this. And Angelina Jolie, she let her daughter, who is she's not even a teenager. She lets her tell her that to call her by a man's name, and they dress her in boys' clothes. Yeah.
Why?
I think it's one of the teens. I'm not sure. Because they say that she has the right to express herself. No, you don't. You have the right to do what I tell you to do as long as you're in my house. And I'm saying, kid, you want to be called by a man's name. If you want to be called by a man's name, you grow up and do it on your own. But when you're in my house, you're going to be called by whatever name I gave you, and you're going to wear girls' clothes. You know, but they want to give these children too much freedom. At that age, she's not even a teenager. Not even a preteen.
Afraid of their children. Seeing more Mari Povich, you got to go to boot camp. But I'd be damned if any child that I'm feeding or got some input into their life going to step to me. Because one time my grandson got all huffy and puffy, you know, and I got right up in his face. There was no space between. I said, yeah, leap like a damn frog so I can fuck you up. And excuse my French, but you know something? When y'all go there, I go there. You know, God forgive me, because you know I don't play that. But I ain't going to have nobody intimidate me. I'm working on cursing. I'm trying to do right. And for the most part, I'm doing a whole lot better, because I used to be a truck driver, and that's all we did was cuss. That was our language. It was no English. It was cursing. But sometimes, you know, because I be passionate about what I'm feeling, you know, a cuss word will pop out real easy. I can't suck it back, and sometimes I don't want to suck it back, because I want people to feel the passion of how I'm feeling that thing, you know. But I don't care who it is, you will never see me on no TV. Oh, my God, I got to lock my door. He's going to do something to me. Oh, hell to the no. Man, we be going toe-to-toe. The police going to be dragging somebody behind up out of here. Because I ain't no punk. You can try me if you want to, because you all swole up. Come on, bring it.
No, I let my kids know when we was coming up, if I had the thought, if I even thought that they was going to call the police on me for disciplining them, oh, it would be on and popping up in there. If I even thought that, but I didn't have to think that, because they already knew. Sometimes I could just give my kids a look, and they straightened up just as quick and fast and heard. You know, just giving them that look.
But I'm going to tell you why she called the police on me. Because that little thing wanted to bring her a Ouija board in my house. And I said, you ain't bringing that demonic shit in my house. And she said, I'm going to bring it in the house, because we learned at school you can't touch us. I said, really? And so I snatched that little ass up. Anyway, she got to the phone to call the police. So the police come, right? And he talking all the spam. I said, hey, I'll tell you what. That shit ain't coming in my house, and if you want to, you take her ass with you, because I'm done. And then when they realized that I was not intimidated by what they were saying, like, you know, then they were going to try to calm me down. Well, won't you let her stay, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But before, they were going to try to act like, you know, well, you know something, you ain't supposed to. I said, well, hold up. I ain't got to do but nothing but eat shit and die, you know. So I said, y'all take her. I'm done. You know, and they didn't want to take her, so they took the Ouija board. I don't know what the hell they did with it, but it wasn't coming to my house, you know. And so I don't play that. She's going to try and intimidate me, because in the schools, they're teaching, if anybody touch you, you call the police. That's if somebody touch you inappropriately. But if your parents is correcting you, you better stand down.
Now, see, here's my thing with calling the police on your child. I mean, your police the child calling the police on the phone. The police is not the one to call because, number one, the police, what makes you think that the police can discipline a child and you're the parent? Because the police are killing these children. That's what they're doing. They're shooting them down, killing them, and you're going to call the police on your parent?
Mm-hmm. They don't want you making a choice. If they're going to get rid of you while you're young, you won't reprocreate, you know? So people got to be careful. You know, we live in a dangerous society, and America is known for racism, even though people don't want to acknowledge it. But racism is alive and well, and people are finding reason just to kill these little black women and black boys. So, you know, you're going to think what you want to think, but you look at the news, you know, all that stuff going on, that ain't no coincidence. And every time they kill somebody, they get off. So why is everybody getting off when they when they wrong? You know, wrong answer. So, you know, people need to keep their eyes open when something is going wrong and stop trying to put blinders on, because it's not happening in your neighborhood don't mean it's not real and alive in other people's lives.
Yeah, that is true, because it's really sad to every day. It's like every day or every other day you pick up the paper or hear on the news where police has shot a black man or a black woman or a black young man or a black young lady, you know, in the back or for whatever reason, and then they cry that they was resisting arrest, they was doing this and doing that. But why are you shooting them in the back? How can they be resisting arrest if you shot them in the back? You see what I'm saying?
Remember that video was viral on Facebook? They had this black young girl, beautiful. These guys had her drugged, had a noose around her neck, and they hung her. And you could see her legs shake until she just died. You know, and people saying, let it pass it on so it was viral. You know, they was laughing. They had got this young girl, you know, and she probably thought, oh, wow, I'm getting some attention from these white guys, you know, and she might have felt, you know, like she's mature enough to handle it. They drugged her up, and they put a noose around her neck, and they hung her. And it was all over Facebook. I got it in one of my videos. But, you know, people need to understand, I'm not saying that white America is evil, because I have a lot of great friends that are Caucasian, you know, but there are some crazy people that are white, and they are hell-bent on taking out black people, and that's just real. So I just don't want nobody to think that, oh, I'm trying to be a racist. No, I have some awesome friends who are white, and I love them to life and back. You know, but like if anything, even like during the slavery time, you had white people helping Harriet Tubman get used Underground Railroad, get people to freedom. So don't let isolated few categorize everybody, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that America needs to address racism. Racism is alive and well. And just be careful who you pick as friends. If you ain't known them a long time, you might be picking the wrong people, you know. And I don't fool with nobody who got that little Confederate flag, because they say, oh, it's because we're proud of the South. But no, the connotations behind that, you know, is like, you know, it's not good. It just don't rest well with me. But I'm just saying, everybody, you know, you can't judge everybody, because they are good and bad in everything. But, you know, this is the first political race where KKK outwardly backed up Donald Trump, and nobody said nothing. And usually they'd be undercover in the back. Now KKK gonna support him out front, so that's kind of like a little scary. And this guy, he got a hot head, and he don't know when to shut his mouth. Trump, you know, y'all better be scared. Y'all better love your family. Y'all better get closer with each other instead of sitting there acting crazy and dividing the family, because like Gail said, we're in the last days and time. This ain't no joke, man. This is some real talk. And everybody talking about, let's come to America. People in Africa want to come to America. They think it's all goody here, land of the free, good opportunities and jobs. No. You come to America and you'll find yourself trapped in some mess. And you'll see that if you're a person of color, it don't mean nothing. You know, best thing I can tell you, get an education and you can write your own ticket wherever in the world. But America ain't it. And I'm born here.
Yeah, and how they always be saying, God bless America. America is not the only planet, not the only state, not the only place on the map. You know, so God bless America. When's the last time America did anything for God?
Right. But you know what? You know, yeah. The national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, that was written by Francis Scott Key. He was a lawyer, and when the British was bombing Fort McHenry in Baltimore, Maryland, he saw the flag still flying, and he was mad because during that time, colored slaves could work with the British Army, and if they did that, they would get their freedom. And so he was mad and he was angry, and that's why he wrote that. And everybody's reading The Land of the Free, but if anybody do their history and read that fourth stanza, it's talking about taking blacks out, you know. But they only sing the first three. If you do your history, just Google it if you think I'm lying. Is the Star Spangled Banner, is it a racist song? Because it is. The fourth stanza is talking about killing the blacks. And he was jealous because they got their freedom by working for the British Army. So I'm just, that's a little history lesson for tonight. But you know something? I'm a wealth of knowledge. All I got to do is act.
Right. And then another thing, pledge allegiance to the flag. I stopped pledging allegiance to the flag, I think, when I got into, when I got out of elementary school. Why you pledge allegiance to a flag? You know, I never could understand that. You know, and people get up to, oh, if you step on the flag, drop the flag, burn the flag, just not. Huh?
You know, people had to do it because you was a child. Your teacher told you to do it, and you didn't understand that we are not treated as equals. You know, not one nation under God,
right.
Individual justice for all, because there is no justice that's for us, you know. If you got money, you might get some ill-gain justice. But, you know, America, Christ kept, you know, I really don't want to be anywhere else because some other countries are a whole lot worse and they're being bombed and everything else. I don't think I could live like that. But the infrastructure of the United States need a whole lot of work. We need to learn how to work together instead of trying to stay divided. And all those people that don't want to bring all nationalities together, then we need to eliminate them because it's not white, it's not black, it's not Mexican, it's not Asian, it's not Indian. We all deserve, anybody who come to America deserve our opportunity. You know, they ought to be given an opportunity, but you know something? A lot of them opportunities are given to people from different countries that come here and get free money to start up a business. People right here can't get a grant to go to school.
Yep. I understand in New York they're letting, I think that was New York, they're letting you go to college for 4 years and not there's no charge. I think that was in New York that I heard they were doing that.
Ellen DeGeneres just did that yesterday on her show. Her and Walmart is sponsoring people to go to college for 4 years. Walmart's doing that, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, I saw it on TV yesterday. She's doing that with Walmart. Walmart spent over millions of dollars to get them people an education for 4 years. And so, you know, I am truly blessed and I'm glad about that because if Walmart's kicking out that kind of money to send people to college, that means my stock in Walmart is going up. And when I saw that on TV, I went to my bank account and looked at my stock for Walmart and it's up. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I like hearing stuff like that from Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show at 109.9 Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hosted by Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. For questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And remember, if life gives you lemons, make a martini, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
had come to you with a line that wasn't true, and you passed them by.
Passed them by.
Though you're in the winner ring, and their lines don't mean a thing, why don't you let me try?
Listen up, I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
Back to Zero is a fictional story with a dash of reality. It's a tale about Anthony Thomas, a man who lost the most precious things in his life, starting with his first childhood love, Gloria. Tragedy soon followed after losing his mom to cancer, and shortly thereafter, he lost his wife, Lynn, and son, Junior, in a horrific car crash. With each traumatic incident, Anthony was branded, sending him back to zero. 30 years later, Anthony runs into Gloria, and the flames in their hearts are still burning. Gloria, now a law enforcement official who also comes with baggage, a psychotic husband named Wayne Anderson who is out of control. He too is a law enforcement official that's abusive, jealous, and an alcoholic. Wayne treats Gloria miserable. While snooping behind his wife, he finds out that she had research information concerning Anthony on the internet. Wayne goes into a rage of madness like a rabid dog because in his sick, twisted mind, he feels threatened and accuses Gloria of sleeping with Anthony. Often he would evict her from the house, but not realizing the night would come when he forces his wife straight into the arms of Anthony. After spending an intense, earth-shattering night of lovemaking, Gloria opens up and confesses to Anthony that she still loves him. Rekindling their relationship is dangerous, and Wayne will stop at nothing to make his wife and her first love's life a miserable hell while fighting his own demons. Wayne harbors a deep, dark, and deadly secret, one he thought he and only the devil knew. Find out what happens when Gloria uncovers the truth about her abusive, lawless husband's mysterious past. The devastation will bring the three of them together in an explosive confrontation. Find out the shocking secrets Wayne harbored and prepare yourself for who will pay the ultimate price for his lawless actions. Gail Delicious Johnson says, Back to Zero will take you where the law becomes the abuser. Order this fast-paced, action-packed field drama by best-selling author Gail Delicious Johnson from her web store at JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y-J-A-Y Publishing.com. Remember, abuse is never an option.
All righty then. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show. And this evening we have a very special guest, Miss Terry E. Lau, who's been venting. We've been venting since the show began. But Terry is here because she's a prolific writer, and she has written her autobiography where she shared many dark secrets, many shameful secrets, and just opened her life to readers to get a point across to people, to let them know that, you know, you don't always have to come from a bad background to have these bad breaks that you have in your life. Because after all, she was a preacher's daughter, you know, very well-respected parents. And, you know, it was just, I guess, her own choosing to choose the decisions that she made in her life. And now she's here to talk about that. But Terry, let me ask you, is there anything else you want to vent about before we get back talk about your book?
No.
I mean, you know, this show is, if you have something to vent, you know, like I mentioned in the beginning, if you have something to vent about, or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to do that on this show here, you know, because the only thing I don't do, like, is discussing religion and politics. And, you know, people, I've learned a long time ago never to discuss those two subjects, especially together. So let me ask you this now. When did you find out that you wanted to write? Because you do have 10 books out there. So when was your first book, and when did you find out that you wanted to write your first book? And tell us a little bit about the first book.
Well, my aunt passed away in South Carolina, and when we went to Aunt Benelle's funeral, I was just so surprised that, you know, her daughters, her grandkids, you know, you would think that we would be trying to console them, you know, but they was just so giving and concerned that we all had enough to eat, had something to drink. And, you know, in a black family, I have never seen that. Every black funeral I've been to is always people saying, this is my, I'm taking this, and they be grabbing. Unfortunately, people act ignorant a lot when people pass away. But I didn't see none of that, and I was so impressed. My cousins, man, my young cousin, some work for CIA, some have their own businesses, you know, and people hiring them to fly here and there all over the United States just because of their skills, you know. And, you know, I was just so impressed, and I said, wow, you know, I said, I'm just chilling like a villain. You know, I used to drive tractor trailers, and I had got hurt, you know, so I was getting working with ComCheck, and it was sweet, you know, and I was, like, being lazy, you know. And I said, dang, I said, I should be able to do something a little bit, you know, better than that, because, you know, they just set the bar high, you know, and I don't want them to think, my cousin that they were saying, oh, man, she rocking and rolling as an instructor driving tractor trailers, now she just getting lazy, you know. So that spawned me into you know, doing that, you know, and my first book came out December the 17th, 2008, and then I went to that first weekend in March, I went to Selma to learn more about the civil rights movement that was going on and what happened going across the bridge, you know, to Montgomery for Freedom. So, you know, I used the opportunity to learn more about my roots, and then I started writing like a couple of books a year. And then my mom said, stop doing that. You ain't really had that book out yet. And I was saying, well, if I write now, in case it dries up, you know, I got something I can just keep, you know, pushing out there. And, you know,
yes.
I started. Yes?
And, no, I said, right. First of all, what was the title to your first book?
Brown Bag Poetry.
Okay, that's cute.
If anybody know about that book, because I didn't know what I wanted to write, I put everything in there. I put my heart in that book, and I went from clean, spiritual, dirty, X-rated, you know, and on the front of the book is a picture of a woman coming out of a brown bag, because back in the day when sexual material was mailed, it was in brown paper, you know, because they didn't want people to see that. So, and on the lady's skin, you'll see her face, her neck, her shoulder, they all different shades because women come in all shades. And a lot of times men refer to their woman as your old bag, you know. So I was doing a play on words and the content that was in there. So, however, I was so afraid because one of my mentors, one of my Bible school teachers back in Baltimore, when I went to visit, I gave her my book, you know, and I thought that, you know, she would, but she was so offended, you know. She sent me a nice little letter, but I guess after she read it, she was so offended, she just stopped talking to me, and that hurt me because she made me want to learn more and more about the Bible. I was getting certificates for being in different classes, you know, because of her. And I just want people to understand, you know, that book was wrote because I felt the need to reach back and talk to people that are not in the church. Sometimes, you know, when you get into the church, you get holier than thou, and then you try to be judgmental about the prostitute out there or that drug dealer out there or that person who's been abused or that person who's homeless. And I was able, and this is real talk, I was able to touch on so many subjects that when people read it, a lot of people approached me, had conversations, and a lot of them turned their life over to Christ because they knew that even though I was a Christian, that I wasn't bougie, I wasn't hoity-toity, I was real, and people saw my realness, and I was not judgmental because I knew that, you know, God came for everybody, not just me, not for the preachers, not for the preacher's family. He came for everybody, and he wanted the ones that were lost. That's who he came for, the one that was lost. And so, you know, I still feel some kind of way about the fact that she don't even talk to me anymore, but I pray that I never judge a person where I can't show them love, because that's not the kind of person I ever want to be.
Right, right. And for her to be judging you like that, she's not the one that should do that. If anything, she should, if she felt some type of way, she should have came to you and expressed to you, you know, what Terry, blah, 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 so forth and so on. You know, because people who judge other people, you don't have that right. Only God has the right to judge us. You know, and even, you know, because I got baptized March the 26th of this year. And, you know, just learning so much more about the type of love that God has for each and every one of us has made me understand and to come to grips with how I feel about people. And true, sometimes I may be judgmental of people, but I also ask God to help me not to be that way, you know, because we're not perfect. No one on this earth is perfect, and we have our flaws, and we do have our characteristics that will cause us to do different things, to be judgmental, to laugh at people, to make fun of people, and things like that. But I'm learning that, you know, God does not want us to be that way. You know, he wants us to love each other the way that he loved us. So this is something that, you know, I'm trying to embrace myself, you know, because I had to look back over my life and do a lot of repenting and a lot of soul searching and forgiving a lot of people, you know, just doing different things a different way, you know, opposed to you know, thinking that, because you have people in the churches that think because they may feel that they're saved, they may feel that they're such a Christian and all this and that, but by the same token, everybody is a Christian, but it's just how you express yourself, how you prove that you're a Christian, because you can say you're a Christian, you're this, you're that, but can you prove it? Do you have the works? Do you have God living in you? So therefore, you know, if a person judges you, that's not God living in them, because God is the only one who can judge people. You know, and I feel that she was wrong for it, and then to stop speaking to you, you know, who died and left her God?
She was a pastor's wife, and when I told him I was moving south, he said out in congregation that I was her favorite, and she had love for me, and she was like my muse, man. I did my homework. I wanted to learn more and more and more, because something about this woman, she made me want to be the best I could be, you know. And kind of, you know, when I left there and went south, you know, I kind of didn't get into my studies like I used to, because she wounded my spirit, you know, because I thought that she could see that this is a book. This is not who I am, you know. But because I had some poems in there, the download was one. You know, I was talking about masturbation. I was talking about anal sex. I was talking about everything. But I also talked about God. I talked about love. I talked about anticipation. That book, Brown Bag Poetry, got a collection of everything that everybody hits on, you know. And it's still doing very well. And it's a book of poetry. But when people read it, they always say that, wow, I've been there, done that, you know, and a lot of people put that book in their bathroom, so when they have their little private moments, I don't care what they do, but you can still find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Okay. So that was the first book, and what about your mom? Did she have any type, did she feel any type of way? Did your mom read your book?
Oh, yes. You know, Kwasi's Cup, my mom said Brown Bag Poetry was her favorite. She said, I might be a widower, but I still have feelings. So, you know, when she read it, she was shocked. I had one aunt, you know, she passed away now, Aunt Lucille. She said, she would say, my goodness, you were talking about that. And she was like, she was embarrassed for me. But then when her friend, her male friend said that, bought a book that he loved it, then she read it again and she wasn't so shocked. But, you know, that's because they spent years and years up in the church. Grandpa was a minister, too, as well. So, you know, sometimes when you're up in the church a long time, it makes you scared to understand what the rest of the world is doing. It makes you scared to talk about sex. It makes you scared to be around somebody who's on drugs. It makes you scared to be in the company of a prostitute, because you feel like what they do is going to rub off on you. But it don't. It don't. You know, you got to learn how to love that person. And sometimes that person that out there that's, you know, that's gone astray, you got to find out their background, why they, where they at. Everybody got a story. And everybody, you know, life is what it is for reasons. And sometimes you could be that person that changed a life, you know. But you got to be able to listen with your heart, not with your ears, and hear what's really going on. And that's what I try to do, Gail. I try to listen with my heart and not my ears. You know, when things come through my ear, I got to marinate in my heart. And I try to do what I think is right, you know. And, sometimes it's hard, because when you try to do right, you got so many people out there just trying to do stuff to make you upset, that throw you off your game. But, you know, God's still in control. So I just keep stepping.
Yes. 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 So let's go to, I know you had 10 books, but we're not going to really all the time get into all your books. So what is your favorite book that you've written?
Wow. Okay. I think my favorite is Broken. And I think it's running neck and neck with Exposed. And the reason I say that, Exposed was my ninth book. And what I liked about that book was that it was a book of situations, a lot of short stories and some poetry. And when I would say one thing, my editor, he would say something different. Like if I was saying, oh, my gosh, she is pretty and fine, I'm just making up stuff right now. He would say, oh, man, she looked like a tramp. You know, everything I said, he gave a flip version. So it made that book unique, you know, and exposes, like the book says, it exposed some stuff, man. It ain't about just poetry. Sometimes with short stories in there, you know, but it gives you a flip side to life because there's always good and there's always bad, and that's why I kind of like that book. But Broken, I guess it kind of beats it out because Broken is a book that is honest enough to share my embarrassment, stupidity, to share my wisdom that I finally got, and to share my pain because I want people to understand, you know, people always think that when things happen to people is because they had a bad upbringing, and I can't say that I had that. I came from a good family. I knew better. You know, when I got married at 18, you know, my ex-husband was a cheat, and that spiraled things out of control. You know, growing up, I was always told, don't do this, don't dress like this, don't do that, you know. And I'm fine with that structure because that's what I was used to, you know. But I was always curious when I had other friends from school and they'd be telling me stories about they do this or they have kissed the boy and they did this and they did that, you know. And I know I couldn't do anything because we had to be in a certain time, you know. We ate dinner together as a family. So, you know, those things that people would tell me about, I would always say, man, I wonder how it really is because, you know, it's like you can't really say this cake tastes good unless you taste it yourself to see whether it's sweet or moist. And you know, I've always had that in the back of my head, you know, and I was a good girl, grew into a good woman. And when my husband cheated on me and I couldn't understand that, I did all the things right, man. The house was always immaculate. Always had food on the table when he came home. You know, always did whatever he wanted me to do. If he said the sky was purple, it's purple to me, you know. And so that made me like, oh, my God, it spiraled me out of control. And I moved all the way to California. And I felt like, you know, I'm not going to ever lose another person because he cheated because he said that I was inexperienced. Because you got me at a virgin, so, you know, what am I supposed to know? I ain't never been with nobody. But that led to one thing, and then when I got out there and I had different friends, and I started going to swingers groups because I wanted to know what it was about sex that I didn't know to keep my husband focused on me and not cheating on me. And also, I knew that because I was so far away, couldn't nobody call home and say, guess what, the preacher's kid doing this and doing that. So I started doing that, and then it kind of like exposed me to seeing people doing drugs because when you come into a house where there are swingers at, you know, there's all kinds of drugs and liquor there, you know. And like, for a while, I used to just look because I was still timid and nervous and everything. And then, you know, I tried it, you know, and then it evolved into me starting my own swingers group, and it evolved into me selling drugs, doing drugs. It involved me doing a whole lot of things, scary things, you know, and being a madam, you know, feds looking for me, becoming homeless, doing a lot of things. And the whole time that I was doing these things, I kind of felt that God had abandoned me because why was I doing these things? First of all, where was my common sense? And then when I was so close to getting caught and getting locked up, or when I got into these abusive relationships and stuff, and this one guy glued the door frame and broke the phone up, I had to jump two floors into the out of the apartment window through some bushes. You know, it was just tumultuous. My life was just crazy, and I was too embarrassed to call home, let people know how far I had fallen, because when I left there, I left with a good job, money in my pocket, everything was nice, you know, so I couldn't let them find out, so I kind of hid those things and suffered alone and tried to make sense of things and slept in my car for a little while, slept in storage facilities, hiding out, you know, and just, you know, lost a whole lot of weight, you know. You know, I just want people to understand that not that I ever want to do that ever again. I appreciate that experience because now I can look at someone's eyes and people can see that I'm coming from the heart and try to help a soul not go that way because, you know, I think it's my responsibility to bring as many souls as I can to Christ while I'm still here. You know, I'm not trying to tell people what their religious preference are and it is, but for me and for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm a firm believer that this did not happen by happenstance. No, you know, I don't believe in Darwin's theory, you know, evolution. I believe that God created all of this. And with that being said, and by him saving me, I almost lost my life several times. I almost committed suicide, you know. So I went all the way to the bottom where you couldn't go no further. And I had to look up and say, Lord, save me. I had enough, you know. And I said, Lord, you said if you're not going to give me more than what I can handle. I said, I can't handle no more. And I'm about ready to just chuck it all in. You know, I was done. And God came through. And what I want people to understand is your life may be bad. You might feel like it can't get no worse. But just pray. And if you don't know how to pray, just say, God, fix it. He hears everybody. He's omnipotent. He can hear everybody at the same time. Our God that we serve is a supernatural God. And I know I can't talk about religion, but I'm just saying I wanted my life to count for somebody. I made it, and a lot of my friends are dead and buried in their grave. They didn't make it, and I just want to save somebody from going the same way I went, because it's hard to tell somebody what they should and should not do if you never walked in their shoes.
That is true. That is so true, because some people, you know, just like when you see a prostitute, people, oh, she's selling her body. That's nasty. But you got to realize what started her on that track. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this real quick. If you get back to your discussion, there's a porn star. I had her name on the tip of my tongue. Vanessa Del Rio. You know, everybody, you know, talked about Vanessa. She was a prominent, well-known porn star. But how she got started, because this cab driver, when I was living in D.C., there used to be a theater they had downtown where they showed nothing but pornographic movies. And he had dropped the person off there before he had picked me up. And so I don't know how we got into the conversation, but we started talking about the porn movies, and he had started talking about Vanessa Del Rio, how she became a porn star. It was because when she was young, her father, I think it was her father and another relative, used to rape her, you know, having sex with her. And see, people don't realize that some of these prostitutes are prostitutes solely because they've been raped or molested or had a person who forced them into it. But you can't judge a person just because she's a prostitute. Try to find out why this person did it, you know, because pain will cause people to do a lot of things. You know, when you're in that pain zone, you just don't know what to do, then you're going to do the next best thing. And if it says, well, I need to sell my body because I need to get some food, or I'm going to sell my body to get rid of this pain, you don't know. You know, I was a drug addict for many, many years. I was raped when I was 15 and molested when I was 16. So I was masking all that pain, you know, of being raped and molested at such a young age. And then the fact of the matter, it wasn't until I was in my 50s that I actually forgave the person who had raped me. And once I did that, you know, everything looked brighter and better for me, because just holding in that anger, that fear and all that trauma, you know, I had to let that go in order to free myself. Amen. Because you can hold yourself, in a slave forever. So I just forgave and, you know, turned it over to God and let it go. So I understand, you know, and then like you said, you don't have to come from a bad background, you know, because some of these kids that are doing these things have beautiful homes, both of their parents are there, they're prominent people, they have good jobs, they do this and do that. But sometimes your peer is peer pressure. Then there's curiosity. You know, there are things that will cause a person to do the things that they do, even if they didn't come from a bad background. Then you got people come from bad backgrounds that can still overcome those things, because you know what they say? I don't ever want to be like my mother. I don't ever want to be like my father, who was a drug addict or alcoholic or this or that. Then you had those who grew up and be just like their parents, an alcoholic, a drug addict, an abuser, and things like that. You know, but someone always has a background. There's always a reason that we do things that we do. You know, it's no coincidence that things just happen. They just don't happen. There's a reason behind everything that happens.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. So this, your book, Bondage.
It's not called
How long did it take? Broken. Broken. How long did it take you to write that book? And did you have everything in mind that you wanted to put in the book, or did you put it in there as the thoughts came to you?
Well, no, I could have never really put everything in that book that I wanted to, because you can't sum up a whole life in a matter of pages. But I just try to touch on a lot of different things that is relevant to what's going on, you know, from siblings who turn their back on you, drugs, homelessness, near death, abuse. You know, I just wanted to touch on some things that a lot of people are going through. No, and the reason I picked the title Broken was because of my mother. I was going to use the term flawed because I felt like there was something wrong with me, that I made these bad choices because I came from a good family. And when I was discussing my title with my mother, she said, I don't like that title, flawed. She said, won't you say broken? And I said, that's even better, because my spirit was broken. I was broken as a parent, because I, you know, I had a child. I had to leave her back in Baltimore. It was just a mess, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm just so grateful that I didn't kill myself. I didn't commit suicide, because I know if you commit suicide, you won't have opportunity of everlasting life. That's one thing you ain't supposed to do, is commit suicide or blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So, you know, but when you're depressed and you feel like you have nowhere to turn and you don't care and you've been beat down, sometimes the worst choices seem like the only choice. And I hope that when people read the title Broken, you know, everybody is broken. We are wounded souls trying to hold it together and try to present ourselves like we got together, but we all broken. And I just wanted to be able to put it out there in a way that people can say, man, I've been there, I've done that. Because if I can force someone to recall their own shortcomings in their life, maybe that'll soften them up a little bit to forgive themselves, first of all, and to try to understand somebody else who's going through it. By the time we get through it, Gail, and then we act like, oh, I made it. It's up to you to make it. You know, it ain't my responsibility because you can't make it. Go to some kind of AAA or do this. You know, you can't judge nobody, because everybody ain't strong as the other person is. So, you know, I'm glad that I had the foundation in Christ, that I had thought for a while God had left me. But, you know, it was me. I left God. I was doing all the things that weren't godly. So I was getting the things happening to me because I wasn't living a godly existence. I was embarrassed. I was trying to be like Gail said, you know, try to be like what's going on around here. Everybody is doing crystal meth in California. So while I started doing that, felt like I could make some money, you know. And one thing, it just spiraled out of control. It just, you know, so no, everything is not in the book, you know. And right now, Lionsgate got my manuscript because I had it turned into a script as well. It's in script form as well as book form. But, you know, I should be working on a continuation, because you can't put nobody's life in one book, because I ain't wanted to be a big encyclopedia, you know what I'm saying? So I gave people a taste so they know what I've been through, so they know that, you know, when I come with the passion and the realness, that's all legit. You know, I'm not a phony. I am what I say I am, and I do what I say I do, you know, and I try to help people, you know, not give up on themselves.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, you said that's your favorite book. In the book, what is your favorite passage or the favorite chapter in that book? Do you have it near you so you can maybe read us a little bit of the book?
I don't really think so. And the reason why I don't think so is because I recently moved to this new home.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have And that's the only reason why.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I guess I can tell you one thing that I thought was funny that was in the book when I was young, you know, and I didn't want to listen. I would get money for church, and I would run out to the drugstore and buy candy and stuff, and then my dumb behind, somebody had this big peppermint, and I tried to shove it down my dress, and I was trying to hide it, you know, and it stuck out, and my mama found out, and so I knew at the church I was getting a spanking. So, you know, I went in there and put a plate in my pants, you know, so I figured if she beat me, I wouldn't feel it. Now, mind you, my butt is round like a plate. Ain't no child butt shaped like a plate. So anyway, my mother found out and took it out, tore my honey up. So, you know, my book will make you laugh. It will make you cry. It will make you think. You know, and I'm so grateful that a lot of men who has reviewed my book and read it, you know, and they said, man, everybody said it should be a movie. So I'm just hoping that, you know, Lionsgate see fit to want to produce it, you know, because they want you to do a script, and I've done a script, but they don't want you to go over 113 pages. How are you going to break a book down to 113 pages without having the essence of what you want to talk about? But it is what it is. But, you know, whether Lionsgate take it or Warner's brother or someone else, I know there's going to be a movie because I know my God cannot lie or fail, and I already took it to him in prayer. So I'm just waiting to see it on the big screen broken.
All right. Well, if you feel that way, so be it. It's going to, you know, come to fruition, you know, because you have to put that faith out there and believe in it and, you know, keep the faith.
And I do, you know. I believe that, you know, it's time for some new stuff and true stories because, you know, those true stories, I love them better than I like all these regurgitation of comic book figures. You know, come on now, put people's lives out there, you know, because, you know, if a broken soul see another broken soul and they know how that person made it, sometimes you never know how it's going to help somebody else out, you know. So I wish they put more true stories instead of redoing Captain America and all this other stuff, X-Men.
Those are distractions, darling. Those are just strictly distractions from people, so they won't know what's really going on in people's lives, you know. So, but you keep pushing and, you know, keep the faith. And, you know, when Broken does come to the big screen, you know, you can say that's what's going on in my life. You know, people can see the real deal. Opposed to Captain America, Spider-Man, and all this and that. No such thing as a Spider-Man, you know, but this is the things that they do to distract you, putting all kind of crazy things together. But, you know, like I said, just keep the faith. And
I will. You know, Gail, a lot of people
think
how good my life, they think my life is. My life is good because I know that I'm kept by God. I know that whatever I go through, he got me. That's what's good about it to me. But what they see is that, oh, my God, you had a house paid in full. You moved to another house paid in full. They see that stuff. But they didn't see that walk to get me where I'm at. So I want people to stop trying to see where somebody are, see where they've been. See the walk. I mean, they want what I got, but they want to just walk into it. This wasn't easy. This was painful, you know.
Yes. I know what you mean because when I first came to Fayetteville, I was struggling. I mean, I struggled. But guess what? I kept the faith, and I knew that God had my back, got my furniture down here, got a job, got a car, and I'm doing fairly well. You know, so I know that all you have to do is be faithful, trust God, and things will work out for you because man will let you down
all
every
the time, girl, all the time.
Put on your faith and trust in men, he will let you down. You see what happened when DT got up in the White House, you know, but people put their faith and trust in him. Now they're sorry, but, you know, you have to trust God because he knows all and he has a plan.
That's right.
So, you know, you either go with his plan or you go with man's plan. And man's plan is not good at all because he's always going to take you somewhere where you don't want to go or do something to you that you don't want done, you know, and then they always want something in return. All God wants is for us to continue to love him, respect him, and obey him, you know. But, But, so we're getting really down to the wire. Terry, would you like to let people know how they can get in touch with you, how they can get your book, and, you know, what you're going to be up to within the next 2 or 3 years from now? What is Terry going to be doing?
Well, hopefully in the next 2 to 3 years from now, I hope that I'm situated where I can sell this, rent this house out to somebody, and hope to be having a picture on the screen. You know, people think, you know, when somebody's looking over a script that it's quick. It's not as quick as you think. You know, it takes getting people, sets, and it takes a couple of years to see it really come to, you know, to the big screen. So, you know, I'm just diligent. You know, I just hope that by now that I bring more people to Christ, and I'm really sincere about that. You know, I've run some souls to Christ, and I feel good about that because I put somebody on the right track. And I just pray that, you know, I'll keep evangelizing. I'll keep, you know, trying to be someone to fight the battle for someone who is giving up emotionally or, you know, for a child. I just want to continue to be strong and trying to be a protector because that's always been my thing. You know, I like helping the underdog. You know, I don't like injustice. I don't like people taken advantage of. You know, and my book, you know, you can find my book on Amazon. You can find it on Create Space, The One Broken. My other books, you can find them also on Author House and Barnes & Noble's. But my last book, you can only find it on Amazon or Create Space or my personal website, which is my name, which is www.terryylle.com. And if you go to my website, then I can autograph it for you. Also, my website, you know, I sell colognes that I create the scents for. I got candles on there where you can have your own picture on the candles. That's done by a lady I know named Zora Robinson, you know, and they are beautiful because I got my own, you know, and I just want to keep, you know, trying to be a good person. Because we've got so many people out here who are so selfish and scandalous, I just want to keep trying to be a better me, you know.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, always try to improve yourself, you know, and that's all you can do.
And
you
also,
know,
Gail,
sorry.
Also, Gail, can find me on Twitter under SweetFire01. They can find me on Facebook as authorist Terry E. Lyle. They can find me on Instagram. They can also find me every Friday at 7:30 on my radio show, which is called Unmask. And I don't care how bizarre it is, anybody can be on my show because we all got a story to tell, you know, and they can reach me by calling me. And that's 443-956-8753. But I just want to say to everybody, you know, baby, learn to love yourself. And don't worry about what somebody else thinks about you. It's what you think about yourself. You know, it's not going to always be a good day, but keep pushing forward until it is a better day.
No doubt. Well, we're going to give you a great big round of applause, Terry. Anytime you want to come back, you know how to get in touch with me and anybody out there that's listening to this show. Please go over to Terry Lyle's website and order her book, Broken. You will not be disappointed. She's also trying to get it turned into a movie. And she has 10 books out. Check out her website and get any of her books. And keep supporting her. She also has a Blog Talk Radio show, Unmasked. That comes every Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. Friday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Friday at 7:30. Right, on Blog Talk Radio. Get at her there. She's also on Facebook. Twitter. You're on Twitter too, hon, right?
I am. Twitter under SweetFire01.
Okay, Twitter. Well, she's all over the internet, so just, and I guess you can put in a Google search for her as well. put in a Google search for her as well. And, you know, that's Terry E. Lyles, They're Broken, her autobiography about things that transpired in her life when she was at her lowest and how she came through all that. And she also mentioned that she has another, she'd like to put the rest of the information in another book. So we'll be looking forward to that as well. And we're going to give her a great big round of applause for being this evening's guest.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you, girl.
Yes, everybody love you over here for that, darling. You know, we appreciate you, and thanks for the information you gave out at the beginning of the show, venting. You know, like I said, this is the show where you can come and let your hair down. No, there's no apology for that, you know, because like I said, this show is geared up for my guests, and if you want to vent or just, you know, whatever you want to do on this show, the show is open for my guests, you know, like I said, but we don't discuss religion or politics, you know, for special reasons. And we do appreciate you. And with that being said, my love you too, darling. And like I said, anytime you want to come back, you know how to get in touch with me and, you know, listening audience, hopefully you learned something tonight, you know, that life is what you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Life is what you make. You know, if someone gives you lemons, you can make a martini, you can make lemonade, you can make a lemon cake or candy or whatever. But life is really what you make.
Do what I say. If life gives you lemons, I'm going to throw them suckers back.
Well, there's a lot of things you can do with lemons now. You ain't got to throw them back. Because you sure can do a lot of things with lemons, you know. Yeah, so my next week's guest is going to be Nancy M. Sellers, and she's the author of a book, Bondage, from Bondage to Freedom. And it's based on true events, so I do have her book here. I've had it since 2008. She was on another show that when I was co-host for another Blog Talk Radio personality. And she'll be here next week. That's Nancy M. Sellers O'Brien, and she has a book, Bondage. We will be discussing her book next week, or we may even invent a little bit, you know, whatever. Because like I said, when you come on, if life gives you lemons, make a martini. I'm telling you, make your martini, sit down, relax, and enjoy the show. With that being said, this is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, getting ready to sign off. Yeah, love you guys. I appreciate you all for your support and dropping by. Hope you have a beautiful weekend. Remember, I love talking to you guys, not about you. If you're driving, don't drink. If you're drinking, don't drive. Have a beautiful weekend. Love you guys. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to my Nana's Internet Radio Show, because it's the best. Good night.